You're on Sunday night on ABC Radio Around Australia. John Cleary with you. Noel Debien joins us in the studio now. Noel, at last, it appears we've got through to China.
We are through to China, absolutely, with Médecins Sans Frontières.
Médecins Sans Frontières, the object of attention for many listeners to ABC Radio, certainly around the 702 station this week. They've been doing a lot of work for Médecins Sans Frontières. But we're going to the heart of the earthquake territory, Chengdu. I was there myself a few years ago, and some of those river valleys are very narrow. One only has to imagine the colossal damage that could be done in those places. We've seen some of the images.
Sichuan itself, that name is an abbreviation of Chinese words that mean the four gorges or four valleys, four river valleys. So it's all about that spectacular river valley stuff we've been listening about. Lakes have formed where landslides have occurred. But look, the person we've gotten is a guy called Ewan Beaumont. And Ewan hails from Mullawar near Geraldton in Western Australia. But he works with Médecins Sans Frontières as their field coordinator. And he arrived pretty much straight after the earthquake had occurred with them. So, Ewan, can I begin by asking you, what did you find when you got there?
When I arrived at the airport, which is Chengdu, I imagined that I'd see, you know, buildings that were collapsed straight away, you know. But we're actually about 2 hours from the epicentre, and I think there's about 500 people killed in Chengdu. It's actually relatively untouched. But that day, I arrived about 1 o'clock, we went straight up to the site, and we went to not that far from the epicentre, and yeah, the devastation was pretty immense. Buildings basically in rubble. Not easy on the eye, for sure. Oh, definitely new for me. I was briefly in Pakistan, but I didn't actually make it. I've worked in totally days. They had medical systems in place, had food, water and shelter. And when you go into an area like this as an NGO worker, that's what you're looking to do. Really, the Chinese mobilise very, very quickly.
What have you seen happening from the Chinese point of view? Because you think of New Orleans, for example, and nothing much happening. What was happening there for the Chinese?
What they've tried to do is centralise the care because it's much easier to manage. So the system's sort of divided up into counties and villages and townships. So they've tried to move people to areas where they can give them better care. And they're doing this by initially they were distributing tents, and MSF actually distributed about 4,570 tents. But then within a week, they were starting to do semi-permanent structures, so like a concrete slab, prefabricated units that they could just bolt together, basically. I've heard that the earthquake has displaced, you know, around 10 to 15 million people, so they've really had to mobilise. When you see these camps from one day to the next just grow in the, you know, like they're coming out of the ground, you can really realise how much effort the government has put in.
The number that you mentioned, of course, is, you know, roughly half the population of Australia has been displaced in this area in central China. So what's Médecins Sans Frontières working on? What do you do?
Well, we've been working in a couple of areas. One is Hangwan and one is Guanhang. Their area is pretty close to the epicentre. We've been doing quite a bit in terms of tents, some small medication. We've had three nephrologists working in four hospitals, three in Chengdu and one in Guanhan.
Nephrologist, that's a kidney expert, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for crush syndrome because obviously people are being crushed and I think it's major shock and renal failure. So they've been just giving technical advice and some experience, I guess. They've also donated some dialysis equipment as well. The basic needs have been met by the Chinese government, so we've had to sort of basically try and fill any holes that we can see. And at the moment, we're doing a psychological program, one in Longmanshan, and one in Hanwan. And we've got teams of psychologists, and we're trying to target around 20 to 30,000 people.
It strikes me, though, that in an area where, well, it's now strongly reported that schools collapsed, children were killed, and we're talking about a nation where the one-child policy is in force, there must be just inordinate grief to be dealt with, inordinate loss going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I met one guy and he lost four members of his family, you know, and, you know, you really realise what trauma these people are going through. And we're just there to try and fill the hole and provide the Chinese government with any sort of support we can.
What do you provide in terms of psychological support? How do you go about it in a crisis like an earthquake where this number of people have been killed and injured? What do you actually do?
Well, it's obviously very difficult, and my background is not medicine, but I think it's really being there to listen and to let these people tell their story.
How do you manage with language? Are you a Chinese speaker yourself?
No. We use translators. Most of the team that I work with, you know, they're either French or English speakers, and we use translators, just local people that we pick up, usually university students. They're the ones that know the area and know the field, so they're a valuable asset.
I was reading, and I think Stephen McDonald also was reporting from the area, that a lot of university students were hot-footing it up there to volunteer their services for translation and anything else they could do.
Yeah, well, the volunteers are amazing. I mean, whenever in the early stages, like when we were distributing these tents, I mean, we just never had any problems finding people to help us. I'm talking hundreds, well, hundreds for us, but, you know, thousands of volunteers from all over China have basically landed on this spot to provide, you know, the people of the area with support.
From what you've observed so far, is the local Chinese response getting across most of the needs? Are there many gaps?
Not really, no. The response has been incredible. And obviously, you know, with such a 15 million people to deal with, there's going to be holes, but that's why we're sort of here to assess those sort of emerging needs and hopefully to be able to act on them. It's really a national movement. You know, the whole country, how they care for a city, for example, is that another city in another province will actually adopt that city. So that's how they care for the devastated city, if you get my point.
Almost like a personal relationship established between the citizens of one city with those cities that have been destroyed or damaged in the province.
Yeah, it's like a foster city, I guess. They'll send doctors and materials, and that's how they sort of manage it. Yeah.
Are you getting a sense that recovery is on its way?
Well, I mean, you know, well, we're 3 weeks in and they're managing very well, but it's going to be a long time before some of these places are back on their feet. I mean, schools have been destroyed, hospitals have been destroyed. They're still in the process of taking care of their people, and then they're going to have to clean up, and you know, then they're going to have to reconstruct. So I think the timeline will be 1 or 2, 3 years before these places are fully operational again.
As far as I can work out from the statistics that are published, up to 70,000 people killed. Is it now at the point that bodies have been removed and that part of the recovery is over?
There's still 18,000 missing, so the chances of finding people alive now are very slim, so the cleanup is sort of beginning to move forward, and obviously with 18,000 people missing, they're going to find more bodies, which is not a nice thing for anyone to be involved in any cleanup.
We've been reading of the danger also of the build-up of rivers. Its traditional name talks about the four rivers and the gorges that are in that central region of China too, that have been blocked by landslide. Are you getting reports of that inside the country?
Yeah. They call them quake lakes, and it's where a big landslide has blocked a river and the river's backing up. The country is beautiful, but very mountainous, and some of these rivers are in the bottom of a big valley, and it doesn't take much to stop them. And I think in one area, I haven't got a map in front of me, but one area probably about 2 or 3 hours north of where we are, there was a big quake lake, and they evacuated 100,000 people, or you know, moved them to higher ground, and then they basically sent in a team of engineers, and I'm talking helicoptering in bulldozers, amazing footage, and they basically built a big drain to drain these quake lakes.
Ewan Beaumont, Field Coordinator for Medicine Sans Frontières in Sichuan. Thank you for taking the time.
No problems. Thank you.